And now we move on to our next topic with Lawrence Freedman as our speaker. Lawrence is a professor of law at Stanford Law School, and he is the author of Crime and Punishment in American History. Lawrence, please go ahead with your remarks.
Sure. Okay. For the last couple of decades, there's been a boom in the prison population in the United States, and we now have 2 million people in jail or prison, and millions more that are on probation or have been on probation. And there's been a lot of criticism, quite justified, I think, that the system is unfair to people of color. So mass incarceration is or should be a major social issue. No other advanced democratic society locks up so many people. So it's a specific American problem. It's also a race problem. On the other hand, every country has prisons, and it might be useful to take a glance at the history of prisons. I don't think that history, I don't want to befoul my own nest, but I don't think history solves present problems, but I think it elucidates them. So most people think that there always have been prisons, but this is actually not true if we think of places like San Quentin or Sing Sing. In our colonial period, and well into the 19th century, it was not a normal way of punishing people to lock them up. They punished people by whipping them, by shaming them, putting them in the stocks, branding them with a hot iron, wearing the scarlet letter, and hanging the worst. But all of this was done in public, and it was all meant to show a message. Punishment was didactic theater. The jails, there were jails, but they had two basic uses: people who couldn't pay their debts and people who were waiting for trial. And the jails were usually just houses. Many weren't even particularly secure. So the 19th century invented the big house, the penitentiary. And one of the earliest and most notable was Eastern State in Philadelphia. It opened in 1829. It's now a historical site. You can tour it if you want. It has a famous Halloween party. But it gives a very good indication of what the first great prisons were like. So this penitentiary was something completely new and different. It was completely different from the colonial system. It was a massive building with high walls. It had guards standing on the walls and guards inside the prison. The regime was one of total regimentation. Prisoners wore the same clothes, ate the same food. It also ran on the silent system. Prisoners were not allowed to speak to each other, to a guard, or to anyone. In Eastern State, a prisoner, when he entered, put on a uniform, went to his cell. If he was sentenced to 5 years, he never left the cell. Meals were brought to him. He worked during the day. There was labor, but it was within the cell. So Eastern State was a bit unusual. In the other prisons, they followed a different model. In Sing Sing, for instance, the prisoners worked outside during the day, breaking rocks, for example. But here, too, the system was silence and total regimentation. So why did this happen? What was the theory behind this? So the colonial theory was that the community helped solve the crime problem by making an example of people. But in the 19th century, the population had grown. We had cities filled with strangers. There were gambling dens, brothels, urban mobs. So the elites began to think that society was no longer the cure for crime. It was, in fact, the cause of crime. So the solution was to rigorously separate criminals from society. At the same time, there was a wholesale rejection of bodily punishments. Whipping, branding with hot irons, that was all considered barbaric. And punishing through imprisonment was thought to be more modern, more civilized, and more effective. The death penalty remained. It was hanging. But it was no longer done out in the public square. It was moved into the yard of the jail or prison. And the only people who saw it were a few witnesses and then some kids who would climb to rooftops or at the top of trees. And later on in the 19th century, the electric chair was invented and the death penalty became all but invisible. It was carried out deep inside the prison with a handful of witnesses. Now, of course, a lot has changed over the years. The silent system didn't last. There are many different forms of prison, but the essential system remains in place, and the keystone of the whole system of punishment is imprisonment. This is how we punish people who break the law. So it's an expensive system, both in terms of the buildings and the costs. And it's also extraordinarily expensive in social terms. It's also, and this has been shown, deeply racist. So we have to ask the question, we have to begin by assuming that the prison system is not something that has to be, that is, has always been and always will be. Nonviolent criminals are the majority of those who are in prison. Is there no alternative? Maybe it's time to take the system not for granted, but to re-examine it from top to bottom.
Lawrence, thank you.